Good morning. We're sorry about the heat. The air conditioner goes out in July. The heat goes out in November and December. But they've been called, and I think we're going to try to get it fixed as soon as we can, and we may have an announcement at the end about it. We're glad you're here. Last week, I spake on thoughts on Thanksgiving. I had some other ideals that I wanted to mention, some other important things about Thanksgiving. I noticed that there were some that were not able to make it last week that are here today. I felt like it was an important enough subject, especially at this time, for us to have some more lessons on Thanksgiving. So we're going to talk about it in maybe a broader way than even we did last week. It's as important a subject as you'll ever find. To have gratitude, to have a heart of Thanksgiving. It is especially important as we think about God, but it's important as we think about others as well. I notice in our prayers we always mention doctors. We mention those that protect us, the police, the military, first responders. So many in our society are there to help us and to have a better life and a safer life. We should also try to remember those that have gone on before. We would not have freedom. We would not have liberty if it were not for the great sacrifices of so many that have been made. In my judgment, in our nation, of course, we have grown into a fairly large nation, but in my judgment, we have so many more than we've ever had before that are not grateful. That we must be a grateful people in order to please God. In Psalm 100 and verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise, be thankful unto him, and bless his name. The city of Jerusalem had gates. You would go through those gates, you would go to the temple, and you'd worship God in the courts of the temple. Of course, the priesthood could go inside the temple, but others did not go in. Had to be of the tribe of Levi. But the priesthood was composed of those that were descendants of Aaron. The others would worship in the proximity of the temple and in the court. And he was saying that when you enter in there to worship God, enter in with thanksgiving. I can't imagine ever going to worship a single time that we would not enter in with thanksgiving. I don't know why anybody would ever come and worship God if a person did not have thanksgiving. And we have so much to be thankful for, do we not? I mentioned liberty. Liberty generally has reference to the fact that we have so many choices that we can make in our life. Aren't you glad that you don't have to live your life exactly like I want to live mine? We have different tastes. We may be one people and we should have one culture and one language, but we live life differently. We're not talking about the area of sin. We're just talking about that we're all different, and that's the area of liberty. Generally, the area of freedom has reference to that we are able and free to govern ourselves. We don't have to have some kind of dictator tell us how we're going to live. We have a constitution, and we have in that constitution authoritative law that gives us certain freedoms. Freedoms that many people, even most of the people in the history of the world, never had. Just did not have. Talking about freedom of religion, Just read a little bit about the persecution of God's people, and it's going on today. We'll be going on till the end of time. So we have many that are against freedom. There was a time when there was tyranny in our land, and there was a revolution. The object of it was freedom and liberty. And if you read the first commandments, or the first amendments in the Constitution, you'll find that right at the top of the list, we have freedom of religion, we have freedom of speech. How could you have liberty and freedom without freedom of religion and freedom of speech? That's why the Puritans and others left all kinds of individuals, left Europe, some from Holland, throughout Europe they left and they came here so they would have the freedom of religion. We have that. I guess the most important thing is, can we keep that? We can if we love our country and ask for God's blessings. I have a Bible that my youngest son sent me a good many years ago. I believe he met the man that was responsible for these, maybe on an airplane. It's called the Founder's Bible. And what it is, it has the Bible itself, but it has throughout it has all of these notes and historical stories about the founders themselves. We were able to see our son this week. He came and visited with us. We went out and ate the other night. And my son asked me, had I read from it? And it just so happens, probably a week or two ago, I was reading from it. But I read some more here since my son left even. I'm going to read you a little bit about those that signed the Declaration of Independence. We've all seen the pictures, perhaps, of the Declaration of Independence. And you see all those names down there at the bottom. Maybe you'll notice that John Hancock is written in big letters. He did that because he wanted them to read his name. Those men were in actuality, in that time of the world, signing a death warrant. They committed treason in reference to England at that time, and every one of them was willing to die for this nation. We should never forget that. So I'm going to read some from this. My eyes are changing, so I'm going to have to read it without the glasses. He says, inspiringly, integrity is a trait that was readily visible in the signers of the Declaration. The word integrity carries the idea that someone is sincere enough that they're true to their word. A person that's true to his promises. A faithful person. And he says, when they penned that document and listed the principles of sound government, as well as violations of them by the British, the founders announced that to secure their objective, we mutually pledge to each other, now listen, our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. That would be equal to integrity. They gave their word to sacrifice all that they had in order to achieve the goals they had set forth in the Declaration. It is certainly impressive to make such an eloquent rhetorical promise, but it's quite a different matter to fulfill it, especially when doing so will place your very life at stake. But as history demonstrates, the signers of the Declaration were indeed men of integrity. They kept their word and at a high cost. I don't know that I've ever read what follows before. That's why I really am thankful my son gave me this. It's hard to find things like this nowadays. They used to be in our history books, but they have been taken out. In fact, now listen, 19 of the 56 signers put on a military uniform and went to war. 2 died at the hands of the British, 7 others died during the war, and 2 were wounded in battle, and including those signers, who also led in arenas outside the military. 5 were made prisoners of war. 17 lost their estates or fortunes. 5 incurred heavy debt by personally financing the war. 14 lost their families or were separated from them. 2 lost children, and 3 lost their wives. There's not a single record instance of any of the 56 refusing to deliver on his promise. Securing independence truly was costly for the signers, all of them, as John Adams acknowledged. You probably remember that John Adams was the second president of the United States. Here's what he said about that. Posterity, there's an exclamation mark. You will never know how much it costs the present generation to preserve your freedom. I hope you will make a good use of it. If you do not, I shall repent, and that word can be used in the sense of regret. I shall repent or regret it in heaven, that I ever took half the pains to preserve it. That just gives you an inkling of the ideal of what our founders went through. Not talking about all of the military, talking about children, men, women, and children. If you study it, there were so many times they were slaughtered, bayoneted, even after they had surrendered. So they have went through a great deal so we could be here this morning. Isn't this wonderful? It may be a little cool, but it's wonderful that we could worship God. In Colossians 4 and 2, Paul says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. We have it over and over and over in the New Testament and in the Old Testament that we are to have this thanksgiving, and it's connected with prayer. When we pray, I don't know that we ever pray without giving some kind of thanksgiving to God. Certainly we have a lot of requests, don't we? And that's not wrong. God wants us to ask. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. The Lord wants us to ask. He wants us to seek. He wants us to knock. He wants to open the door. He answers our prayers. Our earthly fathers give us blessings. You remember growing up, hopefully, your father was still alive. Some of the great people that have ever lived, they lost their fathers early in life. Maybe some of you. So we have been blessed in every way. We give thanksgiving to God when we pray and throughout the day. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I think there are a lot of complainers nowadays, a lot of murmurers. Sometimes I actually will say it. Of course, I try to catch myself. I think everybody is, you may, in a week time, be a complainer or a murmurer. Try not to do that. It's hard. It's hard sometimes not to murmur and complain. But I think about the 23,000 in the Old Testament that died in one day. The Lord killed them. They were complainers and murmurers. Does that not put a light on it? And then another 1,000 died, actually the next day, evidently. You have 2 records there of it. So we want to be thankful to God. We are so blessed. We have many, many freedoms. We eat like kings generally, right? You say, oh, you don't know what I eat. I just eat cornbread and beans. That's pretty good, isn't it? Beans and cornbread. I ate so many beans and cornbread growing up, I thought I'd never want them again, but I sure do love them. I sure do love them. 2 Chronicles 16:9, the first part of this verse. He says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Now you think about that. God's eyes are searching around for someone that really loves him. Someone that's willing to dedicate his or her life. Someone that loves God with all of one's heart. God's eyes are searching the earth, looking for that kind of person. And that's the way we should try to be. I know we fail and come short of God's glory, but that's our goal. That's our goal. Why is it that some give thanks to God and some do not? I'm certain you could make a pretty good list. I've listed two here. That many individuals do not express gratitude because they're just selfish. I've noticed that people, it's just me, myself, and I, they can't seem to see their blessings. Last week, the first song that we have just before I got up here, and it was Count Your Many Blessings. It makes me sad when I see people that don't have gratitude, don't have realize the blessings that they have. And then we would say worldliness. There's some people, and many of them are very rich, but they're so worldly that they don't think about all of the wonderful blessings that they have, especially when they're not thinking about God. That's so sad. Many simply do not have faith in God. We have infidels. We have atheists that do not believe in God. I think it's interesting that they say that they can prove it. You know, that's the real atheist says. He can prove there is no God. Good luck with that. Good luck with that. You're not going to be able to prove that anymore, and you can prove his microphone is not here. You have a whole creation. It's kind of hard to deny a creation. Do you know anything that men have created that you wouldn't say that it took someone to make it? These are created. These are not real. I had to make sure they look real, don't they? But they're not. Someone had to make that. Well, who made the real ones? The real ones are alive. God made it. Who made you? I'm not a doctor, and I don't have time to be a doctor. Don't have, I guess, the intelligence skill to be one. But you read about any organ in your body. Any one organ in your body. And you know they have doctors now that are specialists on every single one. Every single one. Recently I went and saw a doctor. He's a lung specialist. He's not a foot specialist. He's not a heart specialist. Oh, they study all that. He's not a liver specialist. Just a lung specialist. And I guarantee you he would tell you he doesn't know everything about it. So we are wonderfully made, as David pointed out. God has created us, and you cannot deny the creation successfully. Our thanksgiving, I would say this would be our first point. Maybe we'll have two. Our thanksgiving and praise to God should be wholehearted and sincere. That's a pretty big word, isn't it? Wholehearted. How many things have you done in your life with all of your heart? Maybe some of you were in sports. I was in a little bit. I never participated without trying 100%. I ain't trying to brag, but why would you be there if you weren't trying to give 100%? God wants us to try to do that, to be wholehearted, to be sincere with our thanksgiving. I thought the singing went well this morning. Brother Nick's not here. Robert did a good job. Y'all were singing out. That's a reflection of having a whole heart with thanksgiving. Our prayers and participating in it, those are reflections of having a whole heart to God. In Psalm 103 and verse 1, the psalmist said, and it was David, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." Think about that. That's a challenge. I know it's a challenge to me. He says, "And all that is within me." Everything that was in David, everything. He said, "I'm going to bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul." There are 22 verses in that psalm. Many times at Thanksgiving, I've just preached on that. Actually, you'll get probably two lessons on it easily. But I want you to know that not only does the first verse end with "Bless the Lord, O my soul," because that's how the last verse ends. "Bless the Lord, O my soul." David was a man after the Lord's own heart. And although he failed like we do at times, he blessed the Lord with all of his being. In Psalm 145, verses 1 and 2, "I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever." Never going to stop blessing God's name. In verse 2, "Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever." This is why we are God's children. We believe in the Almighty God. The Bible teaches in the New Testament 10 times you have the word Almighty. I find it interesting that 9 times they're in the book of Revelation. The last book, 9 times. The one time other than the book of Revelation is 2 Corinthians chapter 6, I believe, verse 18. All the other times in the book of Revelation, but God's almighty. I want to mention this. I was reading from this, and I know it's very accurate. I have heard that people say that, like George Washington, that he didn't believe like Christians believe. He was a deist. If you don't know what a deist is someone who says, "I believe in God, but I don't think he's doing anything." The deist believes that God is sort of like you. He has wound up the world, but he doesn't enter into it, and he's not active. That is a lie. I never believed it, but that is a lie. They say Thomas Jefferson, he didn't believe like Christians believe. He was a deist. No, that is a lie. I'd be glad to talk about this. I'm not very scholarly, but that's a lie. They believed without God, and the word that they used was providence. They believed without God and his providence, which meant, number one, it actually was Washington, Jefferson, Adams, the founders. You know what it meant? It meant that God was intervening in history. And they knew and could see that God intervened in the establishment of our country. So we don't ever thank God enough for these blessings and for those that were founders of our nation. In Psalm 111 and verse 1, "Praise ye the Lord, I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation." Not only should we do this, but we need to teach our children. I know the little ones, they play games and color and that. Nothing wrong with that. They're little children. But as they get a little bit older, the parents need to realize that the children need to pay attention. They have minds that can think. They're going to be influenced by God's Word. So I would encourage you, teach your children to be reverent during the worship service. There comes a time they don't need to play with the toys. I'm not going to tell you when that is. That's not my job. But teach them to worship God with a whole heart. And then in Psalm 9, 1 and 2, and again, this is David. "I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high." That gives you an idea of the man that was after the Lord's own heart should be wholehearted. It was of David. I've mentioned this, but we have just a minute. We're going to cease this morning. We should have this continual remembrance of our former blessings. We have blessings we think about today, right? We just had a Thanksgiving celebration. And we do give thanks to God, and we give thanks to others as well. But think about the times past that you've been blessed. Then that's your whole life up till now, right? You were blessed in the womb, or you wouldn't be here. You were blessed with a mom and a dad, you wouldn't be here. You came out of the womb. That doesn't happen to everybody. You read about them in the Bible itself. about how they died in the womb. They didn't, everyone doesn't live. My mother lost one or two. I didn't even know that. My sister told me. I guess it was within the past year. I kind of remembered that we went to the hospital and she was going to have a child and we didn't come home with a child, but I was pretty young and I didn't know what had happened. In Psalm 116, 1 and 2, I love the Lord because, now listen, He hath, that's past tense, has. He has heard my voice and my supplications. So he says, you know, I love the Lord. Why do you love the Lord? Because He hears my prayers. Past tense. How many prayers have you prayed? How many prayers have been answered? I'll say if you're a child of God, they're all answered, but they're answered according to God's will. But so many times, exactly what we're praying for, God blesses us. And I remember in reading about the American Revolution, and I'm just really trying to learn that. When I went to school a long time ago and studied things in the political realm, I didn't take that many courses in the United States because I said that's easier to learn. That's something I would love and I can learn later. So I'm working on that. But I do want you to know that George Washington commanded his soldiers not to curse. He commanded his soldiers to have the virtues of Christians. He worded it that way. Because they were asking God to help them as they went out to the battlefield. We need to ask for God's blessing and offer that thanksgiving because we have a battle with the devil. And we're going to have that struggle till the day we die. If you're not a Christian, you're on the losing side. I don't know what you're waiting for. We had one that became a Christian since I've been here that came with his wife for 49 years. Before he became a Christian. You don't need to try to do that. You need to believe. If you believe the gospel. And you want to be saved by God's grace and mercy. You do what the Lord said do. He that believeth is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned or condemned. If you believe, willing to repent. Not ashamed to confess his name. You need to become a Christian. You need to do it now. If you're an erring child of God, you come home as we stand and as we sing.